Only 4 years before China hosts the 2022 Winter Olympics, the country is now actively building its talent pool as it hopes to achieve ambitious goals. In this context, many students and their parents think of it as an opportunity to start a promising career in sports, and they're going at it by pursuing the best education and training overseas. Today, let's talk about this uncommon group of overseas Chinese students who bet their future in an industry that is yet to take off in China. So are we seeing that more than ever, students desire further study in sports?
Well, first of all, I think we need to talk a bit about the Chinese culture and why this is such a big deal. Mm. Because maybe for some people in the West, especially Americans, they're like, that's very common for us to associate sports with higher education. But here, Chinese people generally value the mind over the body, this kind of education and career goal-oriented culture. We see very prominent here in China. Mm. And there's a quote that goes back a millennia, but still affects people's thinking. I guess it goes like this, and you guys can help me with the Chinese translation here. Those who work with their minds manage those who work with their fists.
Yeah, it's a quote from Mencius, which means, 劳心者治人，劳力者治于人。
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of Animal Farm type situation, you know what I mean? As the society becomes more open, the idea is changing slowly. Today, more people are encouraging their children to pursue a career in sports. Oh my gosh, things are changing. What does this mean? About 15 years ago, this is giving you guys an example of maybe how this change started and what came of it. 15 years ago, Chinese director, maybe you've heard of him, Ying Da, started training his son, Ying Rudi, in ice hockey. Okay, the young man is a professional player now, and back then, many people, I guess, could not understand his father's decision and constantly asked him, why, Liang? You're not
the
director. Okay, whatever. Today, the director sees more and more parents make the similar decisions he made, and now it's his turn to ask why. Why are these people doing this now? He has found out that parents base their decisions on their children's temperament and physique. So this is important, okay? He's kind of was at the start of this change, but he's noticed, this director, Ying Da, that parents are choosing for their kids to pursue sports based off of temperament and physique here in China. So that's definitely going to be a big, you know, kind of answer why parents are doing this. I guess to give you an example of how we see kids now pursuing sports here in China, at a Beijing-based International Skating Center. Guys, this place opened in May 2017. Nearly 400 kids have already signed up for the training programs on figure skating or ice hockey. The number is significant because winter sports are more expensive and relatively underdeveloped in China. So it's not necessarily the football, right? Football's huge here in China. So people maybe didn't expect that this Beijing-based International Skating Center would blow up as soon as it opened, but it did, meaning that Chinese, young Chinese, are really getting aggressive about all different kinds of sports.
That's a very interesting observation, and certainly that captures a change that's going on right now here in China. And you bring up a lot of good points, actually.
Thanks,
Ryan, here. I mean, you always do. But here, like you said, you mentioned that soccer is really popular in China.
That is
true, but that's viewership. When you look at actually how
Beijing
people...
Beijing Guoan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Those Beijing fans can be pretty aggressive, yes. But when you look at how many people are actually playing the sport, then it's a completely different story. But maybe what we're talking about today can contribute to... Mm. The changing scene, so to speak. Yeah, so Huang Shan, when you look at this, what's your position? Do you see this trend of people, especially youngsters, more devoted to studying sports or playing sports, so to speak?
Yeah, I'm pretty positive about that. Let's take those winter sports as an example. I remember when I was 12, and my mom sent me to the ice skating school just for learn the ice skating for hobby, not professional.
Oh, I bet you were so cute.
Yeah, I was the only kid in that like extracurricular activity training center. But just this week, I walked past the Guomao. There's an ice rink on Guomao. You can see they're full of young children learning ice skating. So we can from this a very small example, we can know Chinese people's enthusiasm for winter sports are increasing.
I think these ice rinks are dangerous too if you want to go learn and you're an adult, because these kids just whiz past you and they blow up into the wall, you know, they don't know how to stop, they just know how to go. So if you go skate in these places like in Guomao, I know what you're talking about. I'm dodging kids right and left. You know, but yeah, I totally know what you mean. It seems like there's plenty of kids having fun in the ice rink.
And also, if we pay attention to those sports-oriented students when they go overseas, what majors they want to start study is about the sports genre like basketball, baseball, hockey, and football. I think those sports, you can see the competitive level and the development status in their destination country are higher than in China. Or China is now like showing relatively weaker performance in those fields. So I think that's the main reason why those students who want to go abroad for those sports majors.
You know what's interesting too is like universities like the Beijing Sports University, China's top university in sports, the number of first-year postgraduates increased from 540 in 2013 to 660 in 2016. Another university at Capital Institute of Physical Education, the number increased from 103 to, I guess, 2020. That is from 2013 to 2015. That's where we saw that increase. At Shanghai University of Sports, the number increased from 270 in 2013 to 340 in 2015. So this isn't necessarily, I mean, we'll talk, but, you know, a lot of these students that want to do sports, maybe they go to the U.S. But I did want to say, too, that domestically we're seeing enrollment in physical education here in China go up as well. So that's something important. Also, I guess many students, like I had said, are applying to study overseas to get the best training and education as a result. Some consultancies are getting involved in helping students with their placement at overseas colleges and universities. So like in January, Shanghai-based consultancy WeSport cooperated with U.S. consultancy First Point USA to host a soccer trial. The trial found, this is really cool, the trial found nearly 80% of the 50 participants have reached the standard to apply for U.S. schools, meaning there's talent here. 80% of these kids that were playing are ready to go and be enrolled in schools that are taking serious athletes in football and whatnot. So this is really exciting. There's talent here in China. They just need to be groomed. You know?
Yeah, well, that's a really optimistic way of looking at this. Can I just
tell? Oh, yeah, bring in the pessimism.
Yeah. Sometimes I look at things maybe with the dose of rationality or realism.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, I'm certainly a person that belongs to the school of realism, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Yes, here I have one gripe, I guess.
Yeah.
Ryan, you said a soccer trial, and in the U.S., soccer isn't even popular. Soccer isn't even that big a deal.
It's getting bigger.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Okay, well,
but you're right, you're right.
So, thank you. But also, when you look at America, I'd be thinking about, I know baseball is big, basketball is huge, and American football and NFL, right? National Football League.
Right.
That's massive, and it's a huge business. And I can see reasons why you'd want to go to America to study those things. But with this example, I'm just a little suspicious about how big of a deal it is.
Well, okay, so there's something to keep in mind here, right? When you go professional, that is post-college, right? Most of these athletes that are basketball players in college, they start maybe if they're drafted first picks, they're making millions or they're making good money, you know, and because that's a popular sport in the U.S., also here in China. But like at my college, I remember I went to a gathering and I met some sports students from Finland. All right, Finland, right? Cold place, I think, probably. Because these, all of these people, super blonde people, they look like Snow Whites, you know. They were cross-country skiers. Okay, so that means cross-country skiing is like walking with skis. It's endurance. It's hard. UNM has a, my university, the University of New Mexico, has a cross-country ski team. They compete. They told us stories. It sounded awesome. We have a tennis, you know, we have a tennis team. We have a swim team. Maybe not all of these sports are the most lucrative postgraduate, but universities have them. And there are real sponsors because there are people that look at these as hobbies and even more. And they want to see the people that do the best. And often the people that do the best get groomed in colleges. I mean, I just want, quickly want to say that, you know, when you look at the Olympics, the U.S. did really well in the Rio Olympics, you know, but when we look at the numbers here, I think, let me get them real quick. Okay, so the 2016 Rio Olympics. Guys, the U.S. did pretty well. I'm not bragging, though. Okay, maybe just a little bit. But 46 golds, okay? Great Britain and China very close to each other. And so Great Britain in second, China in third. Great Britain got 27, China got 26. But so we see Great Britain, China together. But then the U.S. kind of dwarfs the two in golds. And I think that is only and solely because of our athletics programs that we have. The competition kids face so young into their lives and their athletic career. I mean, I'm going to also break down some numbers here for you I found in my research. You want to know something really cool?
What is
Huang it? Shen, yes? According to this list, the University of Southern California has 144 gold medals in the Olympics, all right? Number two, Stanford University, 139 gold medals. These are just golds, okay? They have silver and bronzes as well. Guys, a large number of Olympic athletes competed in the Olympic Games. We're still in university. Notable examples include Michael Phelps of the University of Michigan, Katie Ledecky of Stanford University, and Missy Franklin from UC Berkeley. So we can see, too, that also, you know, these students are competing and sometimes winning in the Olympics, maybe because of the training programs present in the U.S.
That is very interesting, because we do see a major difference in system, so to speak.
Like, what's the system here, though?
Yeah, exactly, because we don't really see the athletic programs that can churn out Olympic medalists here in Chinese universities, but we do see Olympic medalists being enrolled in Chinese universities after they get medals. So tell us about this difference or this discrepancy.
Yeah, I'm really surprised that those U.S. athletes, they went to the world-renowned universities like the University of Michigan or Stanford or something. But in China, we see a really different picture because due to the traditional way of thinking, the sports-related college and university education actually is underdeveloped in China. Because we all know for the national athletes and those kids who show their talents in a very young age, they will be selected into the national team, and they are supported and trained by the state. So the most promising talents, they are often like recruited very early in their lives, and their education consists more of exclusive training than regular education. I think they only received education after they win some medals in Olympics or some international games. And those who remain in our country's regular education system and undergo training tend to be those who don't do really well in educational study. So often it's the case that they do better than their fellow students in sports, but their teachers and parents hope they could take a shot at a sports college or university. So these schools have lower requirements on their academic test scores. So when Ryan mentioned the enrollment number in Chinese sports-oriented schools is increasing, I'm happy to see that. Maybe our country's our education system on sports-oriented students are changing.
Or yes, or maybe the curriculum, the syllabus that's being offered maybe has changed a little bit, hopefully. But the thing is, now we're seeing that some Chinese students are actually trying to take in the mind,
yeah,
kind of regarded as a fast track to study overseas, mm-hmm, to pursue maybe a degree in sports kind of thing. But is that really a fast track, though, for these Chinese students? I mean, what can they get out of it as they pursue a degree as such? And also, I mean, getting admitted is pretty difficult to start with.
Well, let's talk about that. First of all, I want to paint some differences here. So I think one of the reasons, I think China has some amazing athletes and talent. I really, really mean that. We see that in the diving team and so many other, you know, athletes performing in Olympics and games from China. But I do think that it's how you foster an athlete. And I think... you know, how Huang Shen had described the situation here in China for professional athletes being supported and trained by the state. In the U.S., these kids, let's take basketball, you know, they go through the NCAA, the National Collegiate Athletic Association. For basketball, they're competing with schools all over, the best of the best, constantly competing as much as maybe, you know, people in the NBA. They're always doing tournaments, and and these are where these guys get picked up as well. You know, this is where scouts go to recruit the next Michael Jordan or something, right? So, you know, there is a system here that is promoting competition, and I think competition often refines your skills so well. And so U.S. students in college are doing this, competing and training so often, right? Also, I think, too, we definitely have sponsorships from athletic companies for students in the U.S. Like, to give you an example, you know, we really foster the relationship between even college students and brand sponsorship. Like, I remember I was a lifeguard in college, and the guy who was our manager, he was also like a TA coach for the track team. This guy always, I was so jealous, he always came in with the newest Nike running shoes. And I was like, dude, Austin, how do you have so many Nike running shoes? Are you just the richest guy at UNM? He's like, no, dude, I'm probably the poorest. But I do the ITA for the track team, and Nike just sends us a bunch of running shoes and equipment. So these kids are competing all the time, and they're training all the time. They're getting the best equipment all the time, you know? They have nutritionists, these kind of things. It is a science that goes behind it. So, I mean, to give you a picture, in the U.S., we also foster with our athletes, you know, the academic side. Like, 2,000 U.S. colleges and universities offer scholarships for student athletes. Also, too, let's say if I'm a athlete in college, about 300 U.S. colleges and universities provide education on sports administration. Roughly 1,000 Chinese overseas are pushing or pursuing to study in sports administration in the U.S. Guys, you know, phys ed, nutritionists, these kind of people can make almost just as much money post college as maybe an athlete. I have several friends who did physical therapy, and they're working with one of them's working with professional basketball team. And man, they do really well for themselves. So the sports majors are also lucrative, even if you're not an athlete or planning to be an athlete after college. You know, there are now 24 schools that make at least $100 million annually from their athletic department, according to data collected from U.S. Today and U.S. Department of Education. Let's take Texas A&M. In 2016, Texas A&M made the most, $192.6 million U.S. dollars, an increase by 132.7% over a five-year period. Donations account for 92.1 million U.S. dollars, about 48%. Then you got licensing and rights fees, football revenue, all this different stuff. I'm saying, too, on top of fostering these kids' athleticism, offering them scholarships, this kind of tournament mode competition, NCAA stuff, is making universities money, okay? So no longer does maybe Mencius's quote apply. Maybe in his time it did. And I think it is important to have a sound mind. But I think often a sound mind is only bettered by a sound body, okay? So why not have both? And I think there is a way. And I think sometimes it could be through the physical education programs in colleges.
Yes, and that is certainly a very good start, I suppose. But also, you have these robust programs that's churning out a lot and a lot of new talent every year. Mm-hmm. And here in China, well, yes, we do have a different kind of system in terms of cultivating professional athletes and Olympic gold medalists kind of thing. But But, you know, we deliver results in a very different way. And there could be these issues that arise. That is, when you are sort of handpicking the talent and making sure that, oh, it's these 10 people that make sure to get to the Olympic Games kind of thing. But you don't have the masses that are participating in the sport, and that could be an issue. But for these young students that they want to study overseas for sports, how much of a durable future do they have?
Guys, one of the things I do want to mention is in that trial held by Wii Sport, 80% of participants have met the requirements on sports-related skills. There's a double side to this coin, okay? But only 40% can pass the standard on language proficiency and academic performance. Since 1970s, fewer than 200 Chinese student athletes have managed to gain admittance to U.S. schools. So this is also something to keep in mind, is as you are maybe looking for a school, maybe in the U.S. or China, you cannot forget, as you're pursuing your athleticism, to keep your academics up high. Because, right, that's going to also still be such a big decider of where you go for school. I do want to say, notable athletes, guys, this could be a very good future for you. You got Tony Romo. He was a football quarterback, retired. Now he's a TV analyst. You can be a coach. You could be Yao Ming. You know, these people have made futures from being former athletes.
Okay, well, that's a rosy picture. But Huang Shan, one last question for you. Do you think this is something that is an easy option?
Not really. I think first, language proficiency is a huge barrier for them. And then second, after they graduated, it's really tough for them to enter the competitive, like, local sports arena. But we have some positive examples, like Song Andong. Yeah, he went to Toronto.
If it was easy, everybody would do it. But guys, if you're an athlete at heart, if it's in you, you can do it. I know you can, and there's a way. When there's a will, there's a way.
Yes, and being an athlete can certainly bring yourself a bright future too, something of a change in attitude.